Welcome to the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast. My name is Trevor Reddick, and as always, I'm joined by a man who would love to invest all of his friends' businesses when this podcast goes big, Brandon Siegel. How you doing?
I'm doing well. That's a really good intro. I promise everyone I will invest in everyone's businesses once this podcast gets just enormous. And Trevor, you know, that was a great intro. I thought maybe you'd have like a messy intro because this episode we just watched was a mess.
So messy.
An absolute
so messy that I saw this coming and I had to pack my microphone in my luggage because I am in Florida. Yes. I took an airplane.
That is
and
dedication.
I packed my microphone because I was like, you know what? I think this episode's going to be really, I think this week's very chaotic already. It's going to get even more chaotic. And I'm going to need to record this podcast. I'm going to need to be on it.
Look, Trevor has the hardworking badge. It's in his back pocket. He's got that all the way up to diamond in 2K, okay? He's got it in his bag. Man who's getting there, probably more at a bronze hardworking badge, is, of course, the third co-host of this podcast, Ben O'Brien. Ben, we had a mess of an episode. Besides mess, what's one word to describe the episode you just watched?
Oh, it was a disaster. It was a disaster, I like that. But it was... I don't want people to get, like... my thoughts on this wrong though. It was awesome. It was great TV. It was like the best disaster you could ever possibly watch.
Yeah.
Because I feel like disaster, that's a negative connotation. But no, I loved every second of it. I wish it was worse. I think it could have been worse. It was just so amazing. Everything about it. It makes this. I mean, it just shows how great live TV is because you have no idea what's going to happen, and when something like that does happen, and nobody knows what to do. The only thing you can ever think of is, oh, thank God that's not me because I would have no idea what to do either. So I don't know. I mean, it's a total disaster. I loved every second of it. I was rooting for more chaos, and I'm glad we got a bunch because it was so entertaining. It's exactly what live TV should be.
And Trevor, before we kind of really kick this off here, I got to say big shout out to Josh, Soccer Encyclopedia, Josh Baskin. This was his first time watching Big Brother tonight, and I was texting him during it, and I was trying to explain episodes aren't normally like this, but he was like, this was awesome. So... big shout out to him because it was his first time watching tonight. But Trevor, why don't we kick off? What do we start with here? I feel like there's so much to, you know, just unpack.
Oh man, what a time for Josh to watch this as his first episode because I have no idea where to start, Brandon, because obviously, you know, you and I have been following like behind the scenes, some of the spoiler stuff. Ben, I think you haven't really been following quite as much as far as like the spoilers, right? You're trying to go no spoilers, is that correct?
That is correct. I am team anti-spoiler. I am straight episodes, and I love every second of it.
So this is going to be very interesting because we have three different perspectives. I mean, Brandon and I have been talking a little bit, but we're going to have three different perspectives, and there's a lot to unpack here because just like the way Big Brother, the production, chose to edit these episodes, it's very strange. I think there's a lot of pieces missing, a lot of things that maybe weren't covered, so... we're going to try to do our best here to cover everything. We're definitely going to go through the week, talk about it, talk about some of the biggest storylines. Obviously, obviously we know that Paloma has left the house for personal reasons. We definitely hope she's okay because, you know, there were clear signs over and over again over the past couple of days that seemed like she wasn't doing very well. So we definitely hope she's okay for whatever reason it is that she left the game. But we're going to start, and I think, you know, quickly, we can kind of set up what has happened over the past week. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, presumably you have watched episodes. If you're not, and you're still just listening to this podcast, and you have no idea what happened, and you're just like, you love me, or you love Brandon, or you love Ben. Most people probably just love Ben.
I don't think anyone likes Ben.
I think everyone loves Ben. I think, if anything, Ben is bringing everyone to the podcast, you know? And if it wasn't for Ben, I think we'd have zero listeners, so... you know, with Ben, I think that's why we get all these viewers. And so, you know, regardless of how you found this podcast, we thank you for listening. But I think the best way to start this is to set up the week, right? So we know that Daniel won the HOH. He won the HOH. He decided that he was going to nominate Michael and Terrence. Just to quickly go through his reasons for nominating them. It ultimately kind of comes down to he kind of wanted to please the house, just in simple terms. He kind of wanted to please the house. In the preseason, he initially talked about how he wanted to kind of potentially go after the big guys. When he got in the house, that kind of changed. Nicole became his number one. Nicole and Daniel pretty quickly made a final two, and they were kind of, you know, collaborating to try to figure out who to nominate. They settled on Michael and Terrence, pretty much agreed on. Like, the house really didn't have any problem with that. Terrence was a little bit of an outsider, being, you know, he's the oldest person in the house. Michael, outsider because, you know, just struggling to make connections, maybe to people he's a little awkward, stuff like that. So they kind of were on the outs. They got nominated. We saw that Michael won the veto, you know, big performance there. He won the veto, and the replacement nominee was Taylor, which left us with Taylor and Terrence on the block come eviction night. Now, a lot happened in this eviction night, obviously, a lot of crazy stuff. So I think the first thing to do is kind of talk about like the alliance structure and what was kind of developing early in the game. So early in the game, Paloma was the main mover and shaker, right? Like, she was making a lot of the strategy talk was happening because of Paloma. She created the Girls Alliance, which featured her, Alyssa, Amira, Jasmine, Brittany, and Indy. She also helped create, which it was called the Mamba Alliance originally. I believe they weren't allowed to call it that, so the episode didn't even mention that. But at one point, they were calling it the Mamba Alliance, so that's what I'm going to refer it to. So the Mamba Alliance was originally Paloma, Alyssa, Amira, the three girls, and then three guys, Pooch, Monty, and Kyle. Now, we obviously saw in this episode that Paloma was talking to a couple of the guys. They didn't like, you know, they thought Pooch was being a little sketchy. He was going around talking to Monty, and they decided he talks too much. We don't trust him. They decide, no, let's go with Michael. Now, this is where I'm going to stop and go to you, Brandon, because Paloma did this after Pooch had already been included in the alliance, fully knew about the alliance. He was in, like, the group conversation about this alliance, Pooch was. And so they go, well, Paloma goes, and she goes to Michael in the storage room and says, actually, we want you in the alliance. After having only told Monty, she didn't consult with anyone else. She didn't consult with Alyssa on this. She just went and her and Monty made the decision, hey, we're going to replace with Michael. And I think one of their guys was in that conversation. She goes, replaces with Monty, or with Michael. So, Brandon, I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn this to you. As far as we started this game, and we started to see the chaos, we started to see this develop, what were some of your early thoughts here with the way these alliances were setting up?
I mean, it was Paloma's show at the start. It just was. I mean, two of the major alliances she was in. Really, the only two major alliances, I guess you could consider the guys kind of a major alliance.
Yeah.
But she was running the show, and I mean, you could see it here where she was just like, I don't like Pooch, and then just got Michael. But it's interesting because her stuff was so easy to see through, and everyone saw through it, it seemed like, except, like, Monty and Alyssa. Maybe Jasmine, too. Like, Michael was approaching, he was like, oh, well, I'm very clearly the last one to be approached. About this alliance, and he was like, I'm obviously gonna say yes, but, like, this doesn't mean anything to me. And it's pretty wild, like, how she was so in control, yet so naive. Does that make any sense? Like, do you get what I'm saying?
100%. I mean, initially with Paloma, I think there were, I wrote a note, like, there was, like, four or five stages of Paloma's game that all kind of happened in, like, 6 days. And the first stage was her just being super active, being, you know, very confident, and going out there and, like, trying to set up these alliances. And she was really good at it. Like, she, pretty much everyone liked her. Like, right off the bat, like, Daniel liked her. Obviously, she had all the girls on her side. You know, I guess minus Taylor and Nicole. But even Taylor and Nicole liked her, even though they weren't included in that girls' alliance. And a lot of the guys, I think, felt good about Paloma, too. So she was, you know, early on, like, you could tell right away she's confident. She's very social. She's outgoing. And she has, like, this sense of charisma, it seemed like, when she's talking to people, that people just naturally liked her. They felt good about her, you know, about working with her in the game. So that was kind of phase one of her game. Obviously, that started to escalate to a little bit of like a mean girl phase, I would call it, where this is kind of the start of where the Taylor stuff comes in. You know, there was definitely like some mean girl stuff with particularly Paloma. I think Alyssa as well, but I think Alyssa was more listening. I don't know if she was really contributing a ton, but you know, it started with like the pageant girl stuff. That was kind of like, from what we saw in feeds, that was kind of like the initial thing, like, oh, she's a pageant girl. And it was just kind of like, oh, because she's a pageant girl, we don't like her, we want to exclude her, we think maybe she's a guy's girl. So there was this whole nonsense about like, are you a girl's girl or are you a guy's girl? Which is just really silly. It's very much like high school like. And that's what Big Brother is a lot of times. It's a lot like high school. It's very weird. And that's kind of where this, like, I don't know, all of this hate or jealousy, whatever you want to call it, of Taylor started without her even knowing. And then it kind of, you know, went on from there. And as you kind of mentioned, Brandon, there is also like this guys alliance that was forming. They didn't really have a name for it initially. Now we know that they're calling it Oasis, which they have added a couple more guys into it. But I think that one is Monty, Kyle, Joseph, Pooch, Turner, and Daniel. That's called Oasis, in their guys alliance. So it's, you know, there's so much that has happened here. But I think the biggest thing to kind of go into here is just Paloma was such a big part of this first week that I think it only makes sense to continue talking about her game. So she kind of has this mean girl phase. She's going through it. She's playing the game really hard. She's also making fun of people. And then it escalates to a point where she's like so confident. She's so cocky that she's outright just saying like, oh, like I feel like I already won this game. Just like out in the open saying, Monty, I feel like I already won this game. Like, just hand me the $750 now. And then, I don't know if Ben might not have understood my intro at all, but then she started talking about how to get around the little loophole where you can't just give people the prize money. She was like, oh, I have a loophole, guys. I can invest in people's businesses. That's the loophole. So she goes into that, and this just continues to escalate. It became clear that at some point, you know, she needed some help. She started getting really, like, spiritual and saying a lot of weird things like, oh, this is simulation. And, you know, it just became pretty evident that she needed help. So of some kind, I don't know. But, you know, she disappeared from the feeds, I think, Wednesday night, which was last night. And we kind of saw rumors about this. It was obviously confirmed tonight. But, Ben, I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to go to you here. I guess first, right? You drafted Paloma. I had Paloma ranked fifth, yes, in my like preseason rankings. I had pretty high expectations for her as a player. I thought she was going to be pretty solid. I think you, for the most part, agreed with me. What are some of your thoughts about, I guess, her week and her game this season?
Dude, it's crazy because she was in the house for, what, like 8-9 days? And I feel like we have enough content to talk about her like she was in the house for 50 days. I mean, because like you said, like, she was the center of attention of those cameras for pretty much every second of the 8-9 days that she was there. I mean, she was everything. And I've tried so hard to stay away from spoilers this year. It was still impossible for me to stay away from like stuff on Twitter and stuff on YouTube about Paloma because that's all anyone was talking about. So the fact that we have this much to talk about for someone that was in the house for 8 days is insane. And like, here are my thoughts on her. And it's crazy because just in the last 5 days, I think all of our like kind of opinions of her have changed dramatically, right? Like the first day, like, yeah, we were all like, oh, like she seems like a front runner. She seems like she knows what she's doing. I mean, I have notes from Sunday's episode.
Production thought so as well.
Yeah, that's true. I have notes from Sunday's episode where I literally wrote, she's very smart and self-aware. I like her a lot. And then, you know, like Sunday, Monday, I start seeing stuff on Twitter, even though I'm trying not to. And it's like, yo, this chick's crazy, like the stuff she's saying. It's so crazy, and like all of a sudden it just changed. And I guess like I probably shouldn't be the one to say this because I didn't watch the feeds or anything, but you guys were right when you said it like earlier, like she got a really good edit. Like the episodes did not show like everything that was happening in the house, you know, with her involved. But I'll say this, like she had the potential just from watching her this week, like she could have been a really, really good player because people listened to her, and whether she was right or not about the stuff she was saying about Taylor, they believed her. And you got the whole thing with Monty where it was like, Monty's like, I don't, you know, I hear kind of hear two sides of the story, but I'm going to side with Paloma over,
right,
Taylor. And then you got people like Amira and the other girls in that alliance that they're like, well, we're going to side with you. Like, we believe you. Like, it's crazy the amount of influence that she had on this house very early on. And the fact that it didn't work out the way that she thought it would is kind of crazy. And it just, what a crazy week that someone has had. Like, one of the craziest weeks I feel like an individual person has had in the Big Brother house. And again, I mean, we're 15 minutes into this podcast and we've spent 90% of the time talking about Paloma. Again, somebody that was the first, you know, first one booted or first one evicted or first one to leave, whatever, on this season of Big Brother. It's crazy. And it just shows how polarizing and how interesting and how, like, I'm running out of adjectives to describe it, but just how wild this week was with one person pretty much being the center of every single Big Brother discussion on the internet.
Yeah, and it was, go ahead, Brandon.
Well, so I wanted to kind of piggyback on that because I think there's a lot of interesting things that you said, Ben. First of all, I'd like to point out mental health is like a very serious issue, and I'm speaking for all of us here. We all hope that she like is okay and can like get the help she needs because there was a lot of concerning stuff, Trevor, like a lot about her. However, she was incredibly mean to Taylor, very very mean for to sure. Taylor, and I think it's rightfully so that we talk about her this much because she was in the best position in the house. She was absolutely so safe.
She was like running the game. She was running the game essentially.
And what's so interesting is like you talked about Monty. Monty was crying in the shower after she left. Like he was devastated that she left. And there was a lot of other people that were super devastated. There were rumors even that like Jasmine was trying to quit after Paloma left. So Paloma's effect was a very, very big deal. Taryn Armstrong compared to her a couple, you know, live feed updates ago, maybe 3 days ago, Trevor, and you can talk more about this too because you probably saw this one, compared her a lot to Caitlyn from, what was it, Big Brother 20 or 21? 20. Where Caitlyn at the start was very, very influential. She started Faute, you know, the other big alliance on that season. Mm-hmm. And as it went on, people just saw more and more through her and like her antics just got kind of ridiculous. And I think Paloma was on a similar path where, like, she would have been leading the game for a little bit here, and then eventually it would have gotten to a point where it's like, yo, what's going on with her, you know, in terms of the game? Mm-hmm. So I think it's rightfully so that we talk about her. She was running the game, and she was in a great position, you know. So hopefully she gets the help she needs, but in terms of Big Brother game, she was really on top of it. In terms of making fun of Taylor, you know, wasn't so good there. She made fun of Taylor a lot. And it's crazy, you talk about the edit, Ben. It's crazy the edit she got. Like, production clearly liked her a lot and really wanted her to stay very, very badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she was doing, like, all this strategy in the first 3 days. So, like, we definitely have to talk about her. But yeah, I mean, she really became, like, it was as if Regina George was in the house, like, because, like, I'll just give one example, like, right after the veto ceremony, and, you know, when we go through the week, we can talk about, because the one thing that they pointed out that, like, indicated, okay, this is why Taylor's getting on the block, is the whole thing where she goes to Monty and tells him, hey, Paloma was, like, saying that she's worried about the guys coming after her, or something like that. That was, like, the one thing they hammered home, which that's just, like, that's one thing, but there's like 10 other things that, you know, happened also. But what was I going to say? Paloma, one of the things she did after the veto ceremony is, and I think they might have shown one of these scenes on Wednesday, no, this episode, was right after the veto ceremony, she's the first person that goes and talks to Taylor, and she's like sitting there with Taylor crying with her, just like, clearly, in my opinion, very fake, just like crying, very. Like when she's pretty much the arguably the main reason Taylor's on the block. I mean, she's probably the most influential person. Her Pooch, I think, also is influential, but I'll get to that later. But just like clearly very very fake there. But nevertheless, it's really interesting. And I think Paloma, even like comparing to Caitlyn, I think Paloma like definitely had more like sociability. Like she was just, I think she had better game sense than Caitlyn. I think she was, from the potential, from what we saw the first couple of days, a far more capable player than Caitlyn ever was. You know, but nevertheless, like, yeah, I mean, Caitlyn, we had, like, Jose in BB18 when he's, like, saying, like, I'm the Messiah. Like, stuff like that, which was wild. Like, she's that type of character. It was really strange, you know. But that's kind of, I guess, I don't know, maybe, I guess we'll probably talk about Paloma more, but if we kind of get into the week now, so, like, because Daniel's HOH was pretty weak, it wasn't good, and we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, because there's so much to talk about, but, you know, Daniel wins the HOH, and, you know, his decision to nominate Michael was a really strange one to me, because Michael made quite a few efforts to go up to Daniel and kind of talk to him, And then I think Daniel's reasoning for nominating for his nominations were like, oh, these are the people I've talked the least amount of game with, which was just, I don't know, an excuse, I guess. But Michael made quite a few attempts. Daniel was a little, like, closed off. I think he was, like, I don't know. He had, like, this open-door policy with his HOH where, like, we saw last season, like, there would be HOHs where they would literally, like, schedule, like, one-on-one meetings, like, after the person won HOH. Like, it would be, like Xavier wins HOH, and then it's, like, all right, one by one, like, everyone, like, I'll talk to you, then I'll talk to you. Like, it was, and Daniel was, like, he didn't want it to be known when he was, like, talking to someone one-on-one. It was very, very weird. But he makes that nomination. He does Terrence. I think those are two people he could have worked with. And also, his number one ally, Nicole, actually had made very early relationships with, well, Terrence in particular, but I think Michael to a lesser extent as well. And Nicole didn't really push back. She didn't really try to get in there and try to change his mind on that. It seemed like, you know, he had other influences from people like Paloma, who I think was perfectly okay with these nominations. Pooch was another one. Pooch was in his ear, you know, talking about, like, eh, maybe Michael. And Turner. Turner was another one. Turner was like, ah, you could throw Michael up there. So, you know, he was clearly trying to please the house a little bit, please some of the people that came up to him and talked to him. And, you know, ultimately those were his nominations. I want to point out one other thing because I think it was really good what this person did, Amira. Amira was the first person that really came up to the HOH room to talk game with Daniel and really kind of made a pitch to try to get two strong guys up, which I think was absolutely the right move for Amira. It ultimately did not land. It didn't stick. But I like that Amira did that. You know, it seemed like she probably needed to go back and try again, or she could have even, like, leveraged someone else. Like, if she goes to Alyssa and say, hey, Alyssa, you should go up there and talk to him and like, talk about, like, this, or I don't know. I just think, like, getting more people, especially recognizing how Daniel was, like, I think being a little bit of a people pleaser this week, if you're able to get multiple other people to go up there and say the similar things, maybe you can convince him to put up the strong guys. It's possible. But ultimately, didn't work out. Those were his nominations. Ben, I'm going to go to you. What were some of your thoughts on these nominations from Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, again, like you said, the whole thing with him nominating Michael, like, he said, you know, Michael didn't make an effort to talk to me, but Michael did make an effort to talk to him. Daniel didn't want to hear what Michael had to say. And the whole thing about, like, you know, me, I'm going to be the only super fan, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Again, I only saw the episodes. I don't know how much Michael portrayed, but, like, and Trevor, maybe you can answer this for me. How much did Michael let people know that he's a fan of this game? Because obviously, like, we know, like, from the first episode in the intro package, he's got, like, what he called a Big Brother Bible. Like, he's a huge fan. And if Daniel knows that, then yeah, I'd be threatened by Michael too. I don't blame him. But it seems like Michael was going to be pretty chill about his Big Brother fandom. So the fact that Daniel's threatened by Michael as a super fan, I'm just curious to know, how much does Daniel know about Michael's Big Brother fandom? Do you know, Trevor?
Yeah, so...
Because it seems like he wouldn't know that much, and to put him up for that reason seems like a stretch to me.
So Michael just came out right and told literally everyone he was a super fan. He was very upfront about it. Everyone knows he's a super fan. And Daniel apparently, like you said, Daniel was, I guess that made him want to target Michael, which... You know, it's whatever he wants to do. It's his HOH. But you could also look at it like, you know, having a super fan as an ally is also like a big, you know, I think would be a really great asset to have if you're Daniel. I mean, in my opinion, just the way I was looking at it, especially because, I don't know, Daniel, just because if the way I was kind of looking at it, like the girls have their thing. And obviously Daniel doesn't know all this, but the girls kind of have their thing. It seems like the bros had pretty quickly, like, hit it off. Like, Monty, Kyle, Pooch, like, very quickly, they were all, like, getting along very well. Seemed pretty obvious. And it didn't really feel like Daniel was going to fit in with that group. It didn't really feel like that was his lane. It felt like, you know, if he can get, like, he already had Nicole. Nicole had already made relationships with Taylor. Nicole made a relationship with Terrence. You bring those two in. And then Michael's already making this effort to talk to Daniel. They have this superfan connection. Like, that's a 1-2, that's like a 5-person, 6-person alliance right there that you can set up if you're Daniel, if you're being proactive as the first HOH. I mean, we've seen how much success the first HOH can have. I mean, there's so many first HOHs that have won the season, like Hayden, BB12 won it. I think, I don't know who else won it, but we've seen all the success from this, and you know, Daniel just didn't fully leverage it. You know, it was kind of just like a missed opportunity ultimately for him, where he had a couple different paths he could have gone into that really maximized like his position in the game. I mean, Daniel, we're gonna get to the ratings later. Like, if Daniel would have played this right, he could have easily been like the highest rated person in this game right now. He could have been a very high rated player if he would have played it right, but he kind of dropped the ball a little bit. So Michael, like I said earlier, Michael wins the POV, obviously huge win. He wins, and then Taylor is the person that was going to be put up. So there's quite a few reasons that Taylor was, I guess, put up, a lot of which were kind of just like unlucky and not really her fault. Now, Taylor, I think, is a very like quiet, introverted person. Like, I think just naturally, people, I think, kind of thought, oh, like, she's a pageant girl. She's probably very confident. She's bold. You know, she's just trying to get in with the guys. But it seemed pretty clear to me that Taylor's like a very quiet, introverted person. And you could see that initially she wasn't doing quite as well, like making instant connections as other people were, like a Paloma, for example, who just like can talk your ear off, talk for days. Taylor isn't that type of person. And she even said, I think in one of her DRs, like, I'm a little more closed off. You know, it takes a little bit more time to get to know me, stuff like that, which that can hurt you in the Big Brother game. But there were a lot of different, like, just random accusations with no context whatsoever for why she got nominated. So here are like some of the reasons, in addition to the Monty thing, which we can get into that, but just straight up, her being a pageant girl is one of the things that got her targeted. Apparently she, in a joking manner, told Turner to do the dishes. I think she at one point said that people could get their own shoes outside when like Nicole was coming inside. I don't know. A bunch of like little instances. And then we saw the finale dress scene. We saw this on, I think, yesterday's episode, which the whole thing with the finale dress, everyone who was there watching her like try on the clothes, they were very much egging her on. They were like, yes, like they were hyping her up, like, yeah, try on the next one, bring us out the next dress. They were very much like hyping her up when it seemed like, you know, she was just kind of trying on maybe one or two, and they were like, we want to see it, you know. And then, you know, like within hours, they go behind and talk about how, oh, she's wearing her finale dress, she's so cocky, like all this stuff. When everyone's at finale, so it's like, it's not like, oh, she has her finale dress because she thinks she's already won. Everyone's at the finale. Like, pre-jury people are at the finale. The jury members are at the finale. So it would make sense that every girl typically, I mean, you know, maybe if I'm a guy in the house, maybe I don't care as much about my finale outfit. I probably wouldn't, I guess. But, you know, Taylor and probably most other girls probably also had a finale outfit that they probably planned out, I would guess. So that's really all it was. You know, so it's a lot of stuff. You know, there was also a comment about like, oh, if Taylor's up on the block, she might blow up. This was something that was really leveraged by Pooch. It was something that I think helped get her on the block, saying that like, oh, if you put her up now, she's only on the block for a couple of days. She won't have, like, even if she blows up, she's just going to go home. So a lot of bad stuff, a lot of, you know, just kind of mean comments and things that didn't really, I don't know, mean anything. But that's kind of, those are kind of the reasons Taylor got put up on the block. And obviously Paloma had heavy influence on this. She really blew up the whole thing with the Monty situation, where Taylor had gone to Monty and basically said, yes, Paloma was worried about you guys potentially coming after her, when it seemed like it was really just a misunderstanding, which we kind of saw on tonight's episode, ultimately, which misunderstandings happen all the time in Big Brother, every single season. But Brandon, I'm going to go to you, just to talk about this whole situation. Cause it was just strange, to be honest.
It was so odd. And the stuff with Taylor, like, I just feel bad. Cause like, it kind of just like fell in her lap. And like, luckily, like, BB Nation is like very behind Taylor, and she'll get a good reception when she leaves the house. Cause I know she was really, really upset after the, like after she got renommed. And I think that, like, it's unfortunate that it kind of happened this way. I do also think she didn't help herself in terms of her game. Like, she wasn't good at, like, talking game with people. And, like, when she told Monty about, like, Paloma not necessarily targeting her, but like just like watch out for Paloma. Like, I don't even understand why she told Monty. Like, that was the first time they ever talked game, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, it was kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, yeah. But like, nevertheless, like, I just feel bad. I just think like a lot of this could have been avoided. And some of it may, you know, kind of rely on Taylor just not being a great game player, but in terms of, like, the personal attacks, definitely not acceptable and shouldn't have happened at all.
For sure. Yeah, I think she started watching last season, and then she kind of went, like, back on, like, a rabbit hole, or I'm not entirely sure, but she probably didn't know, I mean, like, she's definitely never seen, like, live feeds, so she probably didn't necessarily know how fast the game goes. Like, the game goes so fast, like, night one, night two, people were already setting up stuff. And I think to answer, like, the thing that you said about, like, why is she doing this, I think she was just, like, trying to be a peacemaker, and she wanted, like, Monty and like, she wanted everyone to work. I don't know what she wanted. That's kind of the angle that it seemed like she was coming from. Like, she wants to be a peacemaker. She wants to not have, like, the lines be drawn real quick. But that's kind of what happens sometimes to Big Brother, ultimately. But, yeah, so that was kind of what happened there. We get that situation that goes on with the veto. I guess a few other quick things to mention before the actual finale. The eviction. One of the big things that was happening, I already talked about, like, some of the big alliances. Like, we have the Girls Alliance, which without Paloma, we'll see how that continues. We'll see what happens there. You know, we have the Mamba Alliance. I'm just calling it the Mamba Alliance. It doesn't actually really have a name, to be honest. But we have that now Paloma's out of the game. We have the Oasis Alliance, and then we have this other alliance, which they initially named Motley Crue, and then got struck down, because, like, it's trademark. You can't use, like, band names. You can't use, like, stuff like that. And then apparently they renamed it Inception, which is the name of a movie. So, like, they can't, they're not going to be able to use that either, but I think this one was...
But didn't they wanted to name it, like, Motley Crue,
yeah, yeah,
too,
yeah,
right?
So initially like it was Motley Crue. It was, like, Daniel Nicole, I think Pooch Turner, and there might have been one or two other people, but it was, like, Daniel Nicole, Pooch Turner, and, yeah, I don't know, a couple other people. So that was that one that, I think that one was formed just a couple days ago, like, Tuesday or, like recently.
Yeah.
So... that's going on. But I think the other big thing to mention is Brittany. We did see a little bit of Brittany tonight, because this is really, really just wasn't a good decision by Brittany. So Brittany in this game, basically, she's a little bit of an outsider. Like, she's in with the girls, but she's not as, you know, like, Alyssa, Amir, and Paloma were all tight. I think Brittany, and even, like, Jasmine to a lesser extent, Brittany wasn't really quite as tight with them. She did have a relationship with Michael. And she even had, like, a relationship to some extent with, like, Nicole and Daniel. But, you know, she was very worried about this backstage pass, it seems clear. And she really made a very strange and desperate move to go to Pooch and basically, you know, talk about how Amira was targeting him, which I just really made no sense at all. I don't understand her thinking behind it, really in any sense. But she did it. And the biggest thing to me is that in this conversation that they did show on the episode tonight, you can see Pooch's body language, like, in this conversation the whole time. Like, he's just, like, so uninterested. Like, he's just, like, doesn't care at all. And Brittany just, like, keeps going. She's just like, you know, I think this would be good. Like, you should worry about Amira and all this stuff that she's saying. And it's, I don't know, very weird. But that's another thing here that's going to kind of cause some distrust with Brittany and Amira. She didn't fully confront Brittany about it, but they talked and she kind of, like, hinted at certain things. So I think Brittany kind of senses that she's in trouble. And now you even have, like, Michael, who presumably was her best ally in the game, who Michael is now starting to not share with her as much information. He's trying to be careful because he's worried that, oh, Brittany might, you know, tell someone else what I'm telling her next. So Brittany's in a little bit of a tough spot there. But, yeah, I mean, obviously there's so many other things that have happened. But I think as far as the way this went down for this week, that's kind of it until we get to this episode. So, you know, Brandon, we talked about, like, how Paloma went out. Like, she left, seemingly last night, she decided to go.
Yeah, it was right around, like, 1:30, 2 a.m.
Yeah, EST. And it was rumored that production tried to convince her to stay. I don't know. Again, this is just speculation, so I don't really want to get too much into speculation. But
yeah.
I'm assuming that maybe they tried to get her to stay. But ultimately, she leaves.
They really wanted her to stay, it seems like. Allegedly.
But, you know, she leaves.
Yeah, who knows?
Then they have to kind of scramble because they have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? We had this twist, which it was revealed that obviously Brittany was saved. So it would have been Paloma and Alyssa that I believe the house guests would have been voting between to see who went into a battle with the evicted house guest. Now, well, it's not a spoiler, but Taylor would have been evicted tonight. Terrence was safe. He wasn't. Terrence was not going anywhere tonight. Taylor would have been evicted, presumably. And so it would have been Taylor in a battle with either Paloma or Alyssa, which would have been interesting. Now, this twist, to me, just wasn't good at all. I'm frankly happy with the result. Obviously, there was no perfect answer because this result, in a sense, kind of screws Daniel, right? It kind of does because none of, like, he nominated three people and none of them went home. So, in a sense, this screws Daniel, but I think of the options they had, like, what's the alternative? Are you going to throw Alyssa just into a battle against Taylor? Or are you just going to say, scrap the twist, let's just vote, and whoever's out is out? I don't think either of those options would have been any better. I think they probably would have been worse, to be honest. And also, as much as you could talk about how this screws Daniel, I actually don't think it really affects Daniel's position that much. Because, again, Daniel was kind of doing the house's bidding here. So I don't think any, like, I don't think Taylor is just going to be coming after Daniel outright. I mean, it's possible she could if she wins HOH, but I don't know how much this actually affects Daniel negatively because of the particular circumstances here. It's not like Daniel was outright targeting, say, I don't know, Pooch. Let's say he was like outright targeting Pooch, like, you are my target, and he was going against like the entire guys alliance, right? And then Pooch stays. That might have been a different circumstance where Pooch is going after Daniel and also the other guys that he's working with were going after Daniel. So I don't, yes, it does to some extent hurt Daniel, but I don't think given the circumstances, it's a huge negative. So I don't know. But Ben, I'm going to go to you. Obviously, you know, I'm assuming you were like very surprised by everything that happened tonight, but what were some of your thoughts on this eviction episode? And then kind of the decision that they kind of decided to go with to cancel the eviction.
So my biggest takeaway from this episode tonight and everything that happened with Paloma, again, I knew Paloma had already left before the episode happened, but I was excited to see how they were going to handle it. And again, like, it's so fun to watch because, you know, like, production is looking at the last 24 hours and they're like, this could not have gone worse for us. And they're scrambling to try to figure out what they're going to do. I love it. I was so excited to see how they're going to handle it. And I think the moral of the story here, Trevor, is the backstage twist or whatever was killed before it ever even happened. Maybe let's just not have that in the first place. That seems like a pretty easy solution because that was a stupid twist anyway. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should stop doing these stupid twists the first 4 weeks of the seasons anyway. So it was kind of fun to watch this twist just completely blow up in production's face because I think a lot of us fans didn't like the twist anyway. But again, the whole thing where they already had, you know, the set up. They probably built it like 2 days ago. They have the whole competition set up for two people to go against each other, and then it doesn't even happen. And they're like, all right, what are we going to do? Let's just have, like, everyone compete against each other, and then we're all going to have seven people do the – like, it was so clearly, like, they had to figure this out at, like, 4 a.m. last night, and they were probably all arguing with each other. They were probably all pissed at each other trying to figure out the best way to do it. And then, you know, Julie Chen shows up today, like, 4 hours ago, and they're like, she's like, all right, what's going on? I'm like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And she's probably like, I don't know if that's great, but whatever, I don't care. It's just funny. And it's live TV. Like, this is not a problem that Survivor has. They can edit their way around this.
Yeah.
So it just shows kind of how much more difficult Big Brother is because really anything can happen. And they always say, like, expect the unexpected. And, you know, people on production are like, well, we didn't really think that applied to us, but now it kind of does apply to us. So, I don't know. It's just, it was so funny. It was hilarious. Again, I'm not the one that it affects, so I'm allowed to laugh at it. If I was the one on production that was staying up till 8 a.m. trying to figure out how to do this, I'd be pissed. But I don't know, entertaining, and that's all. That's all we can ask for in Big Brother, right? Like, I want to be entertained. I want to have a reason to continue to watch. And this episode gave me a reason to continue to watch because the only person that's played the game for the first 9 days is not there anymore. So who knows what's going to happen? I'm excited to see what goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess coming into the episode, I had no idea what to expect, but seemingly, I kind of feel better coming out of, like, I think I feel better about the season as a whole than I felt going into the episode. I don't know, Brandon, what do you think about that, Brandon?
I don't know, this episode was just a mess. Like, I don't even know how to, like, put into words how I feel about this episode, because I feel like they were just, like, the best description to me is, like, if you had, like, 100 balloons, and you let them all go, and you're trying to grab them all at the exact same time, and you end up with, like, 12 of the 100 balloons. That's, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to put this episode into words, because it was so crazy. And, you know, we talked earlier, like, this was Josh's first episode watching, you know, Soccer Encyclopedia. Big shout-out to him for watching the show. But, like, I can't even imagine, like, if this was my first impression of Big Brother, like, what I would possibly think.
Like, you have no idea what's going on. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And, like, here, go ahead, Brandon, go ahead.
It was just, like, one thing after another. Like, obviously, Paloma leaving was crazy, and then, like, the house guests were, like, sad for a second, and then they're just all celebrating, then we do this HOH competition. The competition makes no sense, Ben, you're 100% right. It very clearly was not meant for what they were doing.
No.
We have seven people just randomly at the end. No one knows who's gonna win, what's gonna happen next. It's, I mean, hey, expect the unexpected. You know,
yeah.
Julie Chen is speeding through the outro. She's already the worst host of all time, and she's just speeding through as quick as she can to get through. She clearly had like 15 seconds to say everything she can. She said Godspeed Paloma. She said everyone love everyone or whatever the heck she normally says. I don't know. It was just wild.
This was one of my favorite episodes ever. Like the whole Julie Chen thing at the end. She's like, all right, on Sunday this, and then Wednesday, and then I'm like, what? I'm like, wait, hold up. Like I'm like, Julie Chen, can you like what's Sunday? Wait, what's what? Like it was so funny.
And,
she was.
And then we have another twist.
Teleprompter.
Yeah.
We have another twist on Thursday, and she just like she said it in the exact same tone as everything else.
And
it's like, whoa, Julie, hold on. We got a twist on Thursday.
Yeah, she's just like,
I don't know.
Like casual. She's like, yeah, Thursday's going to be like the craziest episode ever. All right, good night. I'm like, what? It was just like, this is the last thing I'll say on that. Like, this is why I like this episode so much. Cause I feel like kind of like what I said earlier, I feel like it really is like, forget everything that just happened the first 9 days, 8 days. This is, seems like the season is starting tonight. Like this, it seems like this is the restart and the refresh that we needed because that first 8 days was a total disaster. It's like, all right, let's just start over. This is a great excuse to start over. No one's really played the game anyway. Let's start fresh, and maybe we can actually have a good season because on the trajectory that we were going the first 8 days, I don't know how confident we were in having a fantastic season. So,
and like the other thing, Ben made a great point. Pretty much no one's done much of anything.
Except for Paloma, who's not there.
Yeah, except for Paloma, who's now gone.
Yeah.
So look, it's a reset. From here on out,
just take
we're
going to
do our
Let's
ratings here. We're going to do our ratings here soon, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like I just said so many things, Trevor. You take the mic back.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much all I had to say before we got in the ratings. I mean, you know, it's just going to be interesting, but I agree. Like, it does feel like they hit the reset button. Now we have, in a sense, a new season. Like, it was a very chaotic first week. It was a very bad first week. Like, comparing it just to last season, like I thought week one of last season was incredible, to be honest. Like it was also chaotic, but chaotic in a way that like it was chaotic good, I felt like, for the most part. Like Frenchie's HOH was very crazy. It was clear he was going to be a target. It was setting up for a good season. Obviously it got boring near the end, but the week one was really great last season just in general. And this season, this first week was chaotic bad. It was a different kind of chaotic, which is still interesting. You still can't look away, obviously. You know, you can't look away for even a second. That's what Big Brother is. But not necessarily the best week. So we have this reset button now. But yeah, I mean, I'm ready to get in the ratings if you guys are. We have quite a lot to get through.
We got a lot of people to get through, too. So maybe, Trevor, you give, like, a brief analysis and we'll say our numbers to make it go a little quicker so we're not here for another 3 hours. Because we got a lot of people.
Okay, so we're going to go in alphabetical order, correct? Which means we will...
Yeah, and wait, one quick reminder before we start. Everything that we talk about in terms of ratings, our draft, all that stuff, it is linked in the description. Every single episode, it'll be linked in the description. You're welcome to go and look at it. We'll have ratings for every single week. We'll have stats on the players and our draft. So all the information is there. Please go check that out while you're listening to this. Depending on where you're listening, you'll be able to listen and look at it at the same time. So it'll be there every single episode. Go ahead,
absolutely,
Trevor.
So our ratings are on a scale of, well, technically 0 to 10, but I don't know if anyone's really going to get a 0. 0 would mean they're evicted, basically. On a scale, 10's the highest score you can get, 5 would be average. And basically the way we're looking at this is, what is your positioning in the game? How capable does it seem like you're going to be strategically? And ultimately the biggest thing is just like literally at this current moment in the house, what is my feeling on your chances of winning the entire game? Like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, at this current moment, what does my instinct say? Like, your chances to win the game, right? So I think the most important thing here is, like, in relation to the other house guests. So the people that are the highest in relation to other house guests, those people are playing the game well. Typically, I try to keep the average somewhere around 5 because, like, within the game, if 5 is average, typically it would be average. But I think when you have a season where a lot of the players aren't playing very well, they're doing a lot of things that aren't in their best interest, maybe those ratings will be a little bit lower. And I think that's the case this season. If you have a season like last season where you have a lot of players that are doing a lot of things that are in their best interest, maybe the ratings will lean slightly higher. So my ratings in general, I'll just say, are kind of low. But let's get started. I'm going to start it with Alyssa. Alyssa just lost, well, what was her number one ally, you know? I think early in the game, you know, she hasn't been super active. You know, she's been included in a lot of things because she's had the discussions with Paloma. You know, they talked a lot of game night one, night two. You know, so she was doing that. But she's not necessarily the driver. She's not really pushing for things to happen, but she is included in a lot of things. She has a lot of great relationships. I mean, she has a really good relationship with, like, Amira. She has a good relationship with Indy, one of the few people that Indy seems to be close to in this house. I'll get to her in a little bit. And really the girls in general, and she also has relationships with a lot of the guys. No one at all is looking to target Alyssa. And I think the outlook for her now is that I think she could go really far. I think she's probably going to go really far. It's just a matter of her capabilities in the game. I think she's all right, but I'm not super confident. I think she's somewhere around the middle. So I ended up giving her the average score. I gave Alyssa a 5. Brandon, what did you give Alyssa?
I gave her a 6. Again, I'll be very brief with this. Basically everything you said was right. I'm surprised you ended up giving her a 5 based on what you said. No one's targeting her. Her number one ally did go away, but she's definitely in above average position in the house, so I gave her a 6. Ben, what do you think?
I agree with Trevor. I gave her a 5. I couldn't tell you one thing about her other than she's in an alliance that the person that created it and brought her in is no longer in the house. So, I mean, a 5, like, I don't know anything about her. Again, nobody's going to target her because I don't think anybody else knows anything about her. So average score 5. We'll see what happens with her moving forward. Again, I agree with Trevor. I think that she will be around for a long time just because I don't think anyone's going to be threatened by her anytime soon. So that might be a benefit for her. But in terms of her ability to win this game, we'll see. It's very, very early, but I'm not super high on her at all.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's move to the next person, Amira. Ben, this is your number one draft pick. I gave Amira a 6. I think she's definitely doing some good things. I think just in terms of strategic capability, I think she's one of the most capable people in the house as far as like my belief in her, you know, ability to know what to do, what moves to make. I like that she was the first person to go up to Daniel's HOH room, try to talk game, try to, you know, get in his ear and try to get what she wanted to happen to happen. And I think she has the right idea of what to do. You know, the fact that she wanted to go after two big strong targets right away is absolutely what she should be doing, because if you look at the past winners of this game, it's usually always like a lot of times it's a strong athletic guy, you know, like Jackson, who else? I mean, Xavier last season. Like, it's happened a lot recently. And
Cody Calfieri.
Cody, obviously a huge example. I mean, you know, Casey was really good at comps too. So like strong athletic people in general that are really good at comps. I mean, those are the people you got to be looking at, especially, you know, some of the end game comps, you know? So I think that was the right mindset for Amira. We'll see if she sticks to it. Cause she's also aligned with some of those same people. Like she's aligned with Monty. She's pretty close with him. And she's in, the two biggest alliances. Like she's in this girls alliance. She's also in this Mamba alliance. So she has a lot of information that she kind of can work with here. One of the things I don't love about her is that she is very direct. Like she gives away some information sometimes that I'm like, I don't know if you needed to tell this person that. She did that with Daniel. She kind of made it clear like that she was like with the girls when she was like telling him, oh yeah, I can get some support with the girls, which actually Paloma was doing a very similar thing. In a conversation with Daniel, I didn't love that. I think she's just a little too willing to give information. And she has been thrown out as a potential target. Again, she's not, there are definitely people that are in more danger than she is, but you know, it's just something to keep in mind. But it's a 6 for me. Ben, what did you give Amira?
Yeah, so Amira is the number one overall draft pick in this year's draft. Similar to the NFL, you get a signing bonus if you're the number one overall pick. That's very, very high. Well, in my eyes, she gets a 1-point bonus for being the number one overall pick, so I probably would have given her like a 6, but I'm going to give her a 7, mainly because she's on my team and I like her. And because Paloma went home, she's kind of really all I'm working with at this point. But I do like her. I do think she's in a, you know, she's in a fine spot. Again, she has allies. She has people that have her back. She's not going to ruffle any feathers, at least from what I've seen so far. She seems like she's very sweet, but I do think that she is motivated. She's self-aware. I think she's smart enough to be able to make moves when she needs to make them. Again, these are all kind of projections at this point because we haven't seen a whole lot, but I'm hopeful. I will give her a 7. She's on my team. I have no issue being biased with it, and I'm just going to be honest and say I'm going to continue to be biased with her. Until I feel like she doesn't deserve it, which as of right now, she does.
Look, not a lot more to add there. I gave her a 6 as well. I like Amira. I think she's in one of the better positions in the house. She is very good socially. So it's a 6 for me.
All right. Next up, we have Brittany. I gave Brittany a 3 initially in this game. I liked some of the things she was doing. I like that she was getting in good with Daniel and Nicole. She seemed to form pretty good relationships with them. She seemed to form a good relationship with Michael. But she's not really being included in some of these major alliances. She's a little bit on the outs, which is going to be tough for her. In addition, she made a pretty fatal mistake that we already talked about with her going to Pooch and, you know, letting him know that Amira was thinking about targeting him. That obviously was not good. I don't know why she did that. So Brittany, you know, she's someone who doesn't seem to really read the room at times. And I think she's struggled a little bit more so far. So it's a 3 for me. Brandon, what do you think?
I gave her a 4. I'm marginally higher on Brittany than you. However, not a great look, as we saw in the episode today. She's definitely in the bottom half of players, and that's why I gave her a 4. Ben?
I agree with Trevor. I gave her a 3. Again, the whole thing with Pooch was weird. Socially, I think she has issues. And honestly, it kind of sucks for her. Like, she won that America's vote, and I feel like she's never going to know. Like, did they even tell her? That kind of sucks. Because I feel like that's something that would be very, like, very refreshing and, like, encouraging to know that she won that. And I'm guessing it wasn't even close because she was up against Alyssa and Paloma. But that kind of sucks. Like, that blows for her because I feel like that would have been very nice to hear. But anyway, I mean, America might like her, but I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in her. We'll see. But from the very little I've seen of her, I definitely think she has issues socially in that house.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because, you know, we didn't talk about that. But yeah, Julie didn't reveal that Brittany won it, which, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know if that was like a conscious decision by production. Like, don't say that she won it. I think that would have been interesting because then you could say, well, that could put a target on Brittany's back. Or I think another way you could look at it is potentially if people know that America likes a certain person, they might try to align with them if they want to be likable.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You could look at it either way, but you know, it's going to be interesting. But Brittany, you know, she needs to do some work here to turn it around. Next up, Daniel, the HOH. You know, I pretty much gave my thoughts on Daniel's game. Not a good HOH. He didn't maximize what it could have been. He's still a 4 because he definitely has some good relationships here. He does have a couple alliances that he's... I mean, they're really strong alliances. I don't think they're the biggest ones, and I think there might be people in the alliances that aren't super loyal to Daniel. I don't know if they really care a ton. But nevertheless, he's in an okay position. Not super strong, but he's not like one of the main targets. So I gave him a 4.
I have Daniel at a 4 as well. Didn't do nearly enough that he should have this week as HOH, and he could have put himself in such a good position, just by being HOH and just didn't. He also seems to believe everything that is told to him. Doesn't matter how ridiculous or how truthful it is, he just believes everything, so I gave him a 4.
I gave him a 3 mainly because if you're going to nominate 3 people and none of them go home, that's tough.
Yeah, it's a rough, and that's rough too.
It's your HOH, dude, and he was so willingly just to put up who Paloma wanted him to put up, which again, I get it. It's like you need a reason to put someone up if basically the whole house is telling you to put up Taylor and put up Taylor, but I would have liked to see him maybe like make more of his own moves, and the one move that he actually made was trying to get Michael out, and that backfired too. So, I mean, you only got 7 people competing for the HOH this week, and 2 of them have a reason to put him up if they win. So not a great position. I mean, a 3 is probably fair for Daniel at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought about going lower. I definitely did. Next person up is Indy. I'm going to give Indy a 2.5. You know, with Indy, number one, like there's a slight language barrier here, I would say really like cultural barrier. Like she grew up in Brazil, obviously different experiences than a lot of their house guests. That's one of the things. But another one of the things is that Indy kind of just like doesn't like talk game. Like she doesn't really want to. She's just like a very sweet and nice person. So any semblance of like people hardcore gaming or like people being like a lot of the like mean girl stuff, like a lot of the stuff with like Paloma and Jasmine, Indy was very much like not vibing with that. And she wasn't afraid to kind of show that. So I just think there's a lot of ways that some of the girls were bonding with each other that she just like, you know, wasn't trying to really do that because she was just kind of being her true authentic self. And she also just like doesn't really know the game, I don't think, or at least doesn't seem to know the game. So it's a 2.5. She's also been talked about as a potential easy target. Brittany is another one. I didn't mention that when I was talking about Brittany, but this week, and we'll see who wins HOH, but Brittany and Indy both are like easy targets. There's a lot of talk about like, let's just take out the easy targets for a number of people. And Brittany and Indy are two of those people. So it's a 2.5. Brandon, what do you think?
I got her as a 3. Look, Indy, sweet as can be, top tier person, very bottom tier game player. Don't think she'll be around much longer. Gets a 3 for me.
Here's the thing with Indy, like Trevor said, I just don't know, like if people are going to talk game and she wants no part of it, like, that's great, and they'll be your friend, but, like, you can't win this game alone. Like, obviously, you need help to win Big Brother, and if no one is willing to, like, talk game with her, if she's not even willing to make alliances or do anything with anyone, then I don't know how she expects to go anywhere in this game. So a 3 for Indy, plus from the very small amount I've seen of her, I don't know how great she's going to be in competition. So I think she's going to have a hard time finding power in this game.
Yeah.
Those 3 things make for a very tough way to go far in this game. If you can't win competitions, you can't make any sort of connections with people, I don't know how you're going to be able to make any moves in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Let's move on to the next person. We got Jasmine. Jasmine, I gave a 3.5. You know, like she has more relationship. Like if we're just comparing like her and Indy, like she certainly has more meaningful relationships. She's included in more things. Like this girls' alliance that form, both of them were included, but they were even like talking like right after the like days after 1 or 2 days after the girls' alliance. Basically, kind of in a sense, like, oh, Indy's a part of it, but, like, not totally. Like, Indy's kind of just, like, there. Like, I guess she's part of it, but not really. But Jasmine, she does have some of these relationships that seem to be more meaningful. You know, she's talking with a lot of people. She's making an effort. Not necessarily sure how much she knows about the game either, but she's definitely making more connections. So she does have that going for her. But there's nothing that really stands out as far as her creating her own thing. She's not really branching out quite as much. We saw in the episode on, I believe it was Sunday, with her and Terrence, in the conversation where, and I don't know, this is just one conversation, but she kind of shuts Terrence down in a sense, or she, I don't know if she's totally, like, listening to him and, like, trying to, like, form a close bond with him. So I just think there's other things Jasmine can be doing to kind of maximize her position, making, you know, making other, like, just relationships with other people outside of that Girls Alliance that could help her, you know, get information, could help her, even if, like, she gains an ally who wins an HOH, like, just stuff like that that I think she could be doing that she's missing out on. But Ben, what do you think about Jasmine?
Yeah, not, I mean, I got a 3 for Jasmine. I will say this, and this might sound mean, but I seriously thought until yesterday, I thought her name was Jessica. I don't know why, but in my notes, I literally wrote down Jessica. Maybe that's just me not paying attention, but maybe that shows a lot about what I think of her ability in this game. I think she'll be numbers for other people, but I do not think that she's someone that people are going to be willing to go out of their way to help her. And that, I mean, again, that's a tough recipe for success in the Big Brother house. So I think she's nice and she can make connections, but I don't know if she has what it takes to make big moves that are going to propel her further in this game. It seems like she's going to be someone that's going to try to please other people and not want to ruffle feathers. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you gotta ruffle some feathers if you want to make any sort of strides in the game of Big Brother.
So Jasmine, I had a choice between her and Terrence. I really have little faith in Jasmine at the draft, and I have little faith in Jasmine right now. I got Jasmine at a 4. That might even be kind of high. The reason I put her at a 4 is because she is at least aligned with the girls, and I think True. She might have some safety for a little bit. But it's going to be a 4 for me for Jasmine.
Yeah, she'll probably go far, but I don't see how, at the moment, I don't see how she's going to win. Next person up is Joseph. Now, Joseph, I gave a 4.5. Early in the game, Joseph was very much a person that literally I turned on feeds for 2 different days. I think it was like Friday and Saturday or something like that for like a combined like 20 minutes. And the first time I turned on feeds to watch, it was Joseph talking to Terrence about like workouts. And then the second time, the next day I turned on feeds, Joseph was talking to someone else on like a couch about like meal plans and like protein powder and stuff like that. So, you know, Joseph, you know, he definitely seems like a nice guy. Like he's, you know, having a lot of like good like conversations about like life and, you know, talking about like how he grew up and religion. And obviously he's a personal trainer and he loves talking about working out and eating healthy. So there's plenty of that stuff. But as far as the game goes, he hasn't done a ton. I think as of late, he's been doing a little bit more. He's been trying, like he's, you know, he's close with Monty. They're both personal trainers. They love working out. So he is close with Monty and, you know, he's trying to talk to Monty about strategy and like things they should do. But it seems like he's a step behind, but he's all about the bros. Like he's all about this Oasis Alliance, which is strictly guys. So he's really, that's kind of where his head's at. He's all for the bros. But outside of that, he's not really someone who's a high level strategic thinker, I would say. Brandon, what do you think about Joseph?
I gave Joseph a 5. He's just in the middle. He's just kind of there. I definitely don't think he's going to win. I don't think he has the strategic mind to get there. He's aligned with some people, but I don't know. I don't feel so confident about him. Gave him a nice little 5. Ben, do you agree with me?
Yeah, I got him a 5 as well. He might be able to win some physical competitions, but I mean, I look at him as kind of an average player. A 5 is an average score for him. I don't know. I mean, again, it's so early. I haven't seen a whole lot from him, but we'll see. I mean, the jury is still out on him. It's tough for me to say a lot about him just because I haven't seen a whole lot about him. So average score, average player, 5.
Yeah, so next up we have Kyle. Kyle's been, I mean, I did like him preseason. I did pick him. He's on my team. I'm glad he's on my team because he's been doing pretty well. And I think even like a little surprising how well he's been doing. You know, he's clearly very likable in the house. He's involved in the Mamba Alliance. He's also in the All Guys Alliance, Oasis. So, you know, he's in a couple of these things. He's not the person that's like leading the charge as far as strategy, but I don't even know if Monty's doing that either. I don't know if any of the guys. Well, I guess Pooch is kind of doing that. Maybe not in the best way, but Kyle's kind of sitting back. He's chilling a little bit. He's trying to play the dumb surfer bro. He's trying to be like Tyler, which, you know, that can work if you play it well. It's possible. And he's trying to play that angle. He doesn't seem to know a ton about the game, but he's kind of learning some things as he goes. But he's really just focusing on making individual relationships with people. Like, he's just being social, talking with people, you know, just making relationships. And he's a person who is very agreeable, to say the least. Like, he's very, he's just like a person, like, you go up to him. And I feel like there's a lot of people that we have all met in college that are like this. You just go up and you just meet this guy for the first time. Particularly, like, yeah, like I said, like, if you're meeting them for the first time and they're just like very agreeable and they're like, yeah, bro, like, that sounds great. And then you tell them like, oh yeah, I'm a business major. And it's like, oh, me too. I'm a business major too, man. That's so dope. Like, Kyle's that guy. He's very agreeable. He's very, like, he tries to make you feel good, a little bit of a people pleaser. And I think for the most part that works, you know, as far as making like relationships in the beginning. But that strategy piece is obviously lacking. So, you know, that's going to be tough for Kyle, but I do like what he's doing right now. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I got him as a 7, which is, I mean, him and Amir are my two highest with a 7. I just think, like you said, I think he's very agreeable. He goes with the flow. He's very entertaining. And especially this early in the game, people are looking for the dumbest reasons to nominate someone and they're looking for the dumbest reasons to not nominate someone. And something as simple as, I like him, he's fun to be around, I think at least this early in the game for the next couple weeks is an asset that he can use to where people aren't going to want to nominate him because they like him. They're not annoyed by him. He's fun to be around. Why get rid of the guy you like being around? So for the time being, I think he's in a great position because no one's really upset with him. People like him. And until he starts ruffling some feathers or does something that people don't like, I think he's in a pretty good position, and no one really feels threatened by him in any way.
I got Kyle at a 6. I have really enjoyed Kyle in the house so far. He's just so fun. He's just a fun character, especially in a season that's kind of gone down the way that it's gone down. He's like a breath of fresh air for all of us. I think he's in a good position. My issue with Kyle, which doesn't affect his rating this week, but when it gets down to it, can he make a big decision? Can he make a big move? I don't see that from him yet. Maybe he's capable of it, but it's a 6. He gets tied for my highest rating. I really like his spot in the house. 6 for Kyle.
Yeah, for sure. He's also tied for my highest rating. So, yeah, Kyle's been doing well. Next person we got up here is Michael. And, you know, Michael really did a 180. I have him at a 5.5 now. If this rating was Saturday before the veto competition, it would have been like a 2.5 or a 3. But now Michael's at a 5.5 because he won the veto. He started being more, you know, he was getting better relationships. He started, I mean, he was trying to be social, but like he just started getting better at it as the days went on. He was included in Mamba. Obviously, that's a, you know, that's definitely a good thing for him. And he has other relationships. Like, he has a pretty good relationship with Brittany, although, again, Brittany might be sinking her own ship here in the next couple of weeks. He has a little bit of a relationship with Nicole, you know, and Kyle. Kyle's another person. I didn't talk about that when I was talking, but Kyle, that's one of the people that Kyle's been talking to just on a personal level, and they have a little bit of a relationship they've formed, which I think can be very beneficial for both of them. So I like what Michael's been doing, and I also think that just straight up as far as, like, knowing the game, you know, strategy, I think Michael's probably the single most knowledgeable person in the house, which definitely will help him. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to move along in the game, because I think he's been doing really well, I think, the past couple of days, actually. Ben, what do you think about Michael?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have asked me this like during Sunday's episode, I would have been like, I would have told you that all the fears I had with him in terms of his social presence in this game, I thought were realized. But I do think he's made sort of a comeback. Obviously, winning the POV the week that you're the target, it helps a lot. But even his social presence, I think, has picked up a little bit. People are willing to work with him, and they're willing to bring him into their alliances, like we saw with Paloma. For whatever reason, I feel like he's going to win this HOH. I just get those vibes from him. It would make sense. Like, he was the target last week. Maybe I'm just hoping for that because that would make the most entertaining thing when you have someone that was a target, all of a sudden they're in power. But I don't know. I don't think he's in a terrible position. Pretty average is where I have him at a five. I am definitely more impressed with him than I was even maybe 48 hours ago. So I'm interested to see what these next couple days, next couple weeks look like for him. Because if he can really establish a strong foundation, he has the knowledge and has the ability and might even have enough athletic presence to go very far in this game.
Michael is probably my favorite contestant so far. I love him. I think he's really, really great, really, really sweet. He was one of the only people who was just not destroying Taylor, which was nice to see. I gave Michael a 5. He's definitely in a little bit of trouble. There's some people, I think, that are aiming towards him. But I also think he's been getting in a couple alliances and doing some work. He also has a very good amount of self-awareness and game sense, which I really, really like. I think he's going to go far. I have a lot of hope, and he's my favorite. 5 for Michael.
on the spot, you like Michael so much, you're going to raise his rating from a 5 to a 6.
Well, I looked at the notes and I had Kyle at a 6. I looked at the 6. I was like, oh, wait, no. We're not giving him a 6.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Well, next up is another person that I have at a 6, and that is Monty. Monty's doing really well. In my ratings, I put him as the number one rated person. I mean, I have Monty, Kyle, and Amir all at 6s, but I have Monty at number one. I think that could easily change, and I think it's like super close. That's why they're all 6s. But you know, with Monty, it seems like pretty much everyone likes him, which is obviously a good thing. He just naturally like kind of has that personality. Like he's chill. He is kind of like laid back, but he's also at the same time, very social, you know, and he could talk to anyone, so that's obviously good. He's also in some of the major alliances, really good for him as well. And, you know, presumably, I mean, this is part of the reason I picked him on my team and I had him so high. Like, he's very well-rounded. Seems like he's going to be social. Seems like he's probably going to be good at competitions. For a strategy, I don't know. Like, he might be all right. And I think he's all right. I don't think he's great or anything. But, in this season in particular, I think he's well-rounded enough to where you could argue he's the best player. So I think he's doing well. There are a couple things he's done I don't really like. One of the things was he was talking to Paloma, and he outed the All Guys Alliance Oasis. He straight up told her about it. Don't understand why, but he did that. But yeah, other than that, I think he's doing pretty well overall. Brandon, what do you think?
Monty, I also have at a 6. I like Monty a lot. Really, really cool guy. He seems to be in the know in a lot of alliances, and he just has a lot of info. Is he a great player? Probably not, but he's in a really good position, which gives him tied for the highest score for me.
Yeah, I also have him at a 6. I mean, girls like him. I don't think guys are threatened by him. If his alliance, whoever he's going to align with, can stay in power, I think he'll be around for a very long time, because I do think he's probably going to be the most popular person in that house. And until somebody realizes how big of a threat he is in terms of nobody's going to want to get rid of him, I think he's in a great position. I would be shocked if he's eliminated quickly. I think he'll be around for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really interested to see, like, Amira was kind of leading the charge of, like, wanting to go after big guys. But it actually seems like they have, like, a good relationship with each other. So I'm interested to see how that dynamic plays out. Like, the Amira-Monty. Maybe Amira will just try to take out the other guys that he's aligned with, but maybe not him. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see. Next person we have up is Nicole. I gave Nicole a 4. She's done some good things. Like, she's had some good, like, DR sessions. She's had some moments where it seems like she kind of knows what's going on, and, like, she kind of seems like she knows what to do, but she doesn't actually do that thing. Like, she, again, we talked about it with, like, Daniel's HOH. She wasn't really trying to push too hard to get what she would want. I mean, she's another person who should have been, like, just like Amira in the camp of, like, we need to get 2 big, strong guys up. But she didn't do it. She didn't really push hardly at all. Not really sure why. She's being too passive right now. But I do still believe to some extent that she has some potential. So I didn't want to give her too low of a rating. I gave her a 4. I think that's probably a good middle ground there. Ben, what do you think about Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, I just haven't seen much from her. I gave her a 5, pretty average score. I mean, obviously being aligned with Daniel, maybe that might come back to bite her in the butt this week. We'll see. I don't know. I don't have much to say about her. I haven't seen a whole lot about her. Average score, 5. Average player, at least up to this point for me.
I gave her a 4. She hasn't done a whole lot. Her and Daniel clicked immediately. That's nice, but neither one of them has done too much. I gave Daniel a 4. Nicole also gets a 4 because of that.
All right. Next person up is Pooch. I gave Pooch a 4. Pooch has been very active for sure, talking to a lot of people, trying to form some alliances. He was definitely in there talking to Daniel quite a lot, getting in his head, trying to convince him to target who he wanted to. Again, I think he was one of the people that threw out Michael's name along with Turner. He also was, I think, in addition, like him and Paloma were both big reasons of why Taylor went up. As far as like the reasons for it, didn't make any sense, and I'm not a big fan of Pooch personally, but he has been convincing in some ways. Now, the other side of the coin is that some people are talking about targeting him. He's definitely been one of the names that's been thrown out there since he's been kind of, I guess, in a theory, kicked out of Mamba. A lot of those people in that same alliance are potentially looking to target him, like Amira being one of them, obviously. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes, because if it isn't like the easy target, if it isn't the Brittany, which Brittany I think could absolutely be an easy target next week, if it's someone like a Michael who wins HOH, if Michael wins HOH, for example, he's not going to go after Brittany. He likes Brittany. That could be a situation where Pooch could be the target. And that's why I couldn't go too high on him. I have been a 4. Brandon, what do you think?
I got Pooch at a 5. Pretty average gameplay out of Pooch. Not a top-tier gentleman, I'll say that much about him. But we didn't get a lot. He's had the lowest amount of DR sessions. I saw someone have the counter. He's only been in there twice. Which means he probably just hasn't done a lot of game talking. He was thrown into Alliance, now he might be out of it. Maybe could have put him at a 4. I'll keep him at a 5, though.
Yeah, you know, I was going to give Pooch a 4, I was, but in today's episode, he made it very clear that he's not an idiot. So I respect the self-awareness, bumped up to a 5 just for that. other than that, again, yeah, I mean, 2 DR sessions, not a whole lot from Pooch. We'll see. The fact that even some dudes might already be sketched out by him, not a good sign. It's very, very early. I don't know. Again, average score. It's hard for me to get, you know, nitpicky with him when I just haven't seen anything from him up to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, the dude pulled a card and won, like, a stupid twist. So, like, other than that, what has he done? He hasn't done anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he actually, it's interesting that he hasn't been shown in the diary room, because he is, like, doing things, like, good things, both good things and bad things. So it is interesting that he isn't getting a lot of DRs. But yeah, let's move on to the next person. Taylor is up next. Taylor was a very hard person to rate because, you know, this whole week happened. It seemed like she was probably going to go home, and now the eviction has been canceled. Now she's staying. So it's difficult, right? Because when you're the person that's about to go home, normally people ostracize you. That's pretty typical. Taylor was certainly being ostracized. You know, she was alone in a lot of rooms by herself, left out a lot of the game talk, left out of, you know, she wasn't really getting a lot of information. So I think there's a lot of things that she doesn't know that are going on. I think there's a lot of dynamics in the house that she isn't really aware of. So I think she's a little bit behind the curve as far as the information. So I think that's going to be tough to catch up on. She needs to be active and try to get, she needs to really, you know, get in and try to get all this information. I think, you know, after she got nominated and realized, like, okay, this little thing happened where I said this thing to Monty with the whole Paloma thing, and, you know, there's all these things of, like, people thinking that I did something wrong. And, you know, Taylor was, like, she was doing a lot of, like, apologizing when she wasn't in the wrong, like, a lot of the conversations she was doing. Like, she was just trying to figure out, like, okay, what did I do here wrong? What happened? Like, let me try to find out. And she was doing a lot of that. And I think as the days progressed, I think some of it started to make some others feel better about her. Indy in particular, and Alyssa, they were two people that were talking about, like, you know, I really think that people are being harsh on Taylor. I think that, you know, maybe this is a misunderstanding. I think Nicole was another one. So there are a few different people that are maybe starting to come around a little bit on Taylor, where I had to give her, well, I didn't have to, but I ended up giving her a 3 because I don't know. It's just kind of like it's kind of an unknown. I think she's done some good stuff the past couple of days, and you know, we'll see. We'll see now that she has another full week here. She has a chance to win HOH too, so it's going to be interesting to see what she can do this week. Brandon, what did you give Taylor?
I got Taylor at a 3. She has an uphill battle here. Not a lot of people like her because of lies that have been told about her pretty much. And stuff that really doesn't affect her. Yes, her gameplay hasn't been great, but she's kind of in this awful position because of nothing she did. So I hope she can get out of it. I like Taylor. I think she's sweet. But it's a 3 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I got her as a 3. Again, a lot of it not her fault. Some of it is her fault. A lot of it's not her fault, though. I don't know. It especially with Paloma now being gone, the whole week was, you know, Paloma said this, but Taylor said this. Who do we believe? And it was very clear that everyone was very, like, quick to just believe Paloma and not Taylor. So now that Paloma's not there, I don't know how Taylor is supposed to gain back a lot of the trust that people were so willing to just assume that she was lying and she was in the wrong. So definitely an uphill battle. It sucks. It's not fair, but I mean, a lot of times Big Brother is not fair. So if she can find a way to make connections, then I think she'll be okay, but it's going to be very tough for her moving forward in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up we have here is Terrence. Terrence is a 2.5. Again, he's the oldest person in the house. That definitely makes it difficult. There have been times where he, he's just kind of saying like, well, I don't know if I should go talk to Daniel. I don't know what I should do. So it also seems like in addition to, you know, being the oldest person, having trouble fitting in, he doesn't really have a ton of knowledge on the game. Doesn't really know exactly what to do. And it's similar to Indy. Like, he's just pretty clearly on the outs here. And I just have a hard time seeing how he can get the win. So 2.5 for me. Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I got Terrence at a 2, my lowest rating. There's nothing that bothers me more than when people get mad that they're being nominated, but they did nothing to stop themselves from being nominated. Like, I mean, Daniel was like, Terrence didn't talk to me once. So, like, Terrence can be mad all he wants for being nominated, but if you're not going to make an effort to, like, I don't know, do anything, I mean, it's the first week. You really don't have to do a whole lot. Just maybe make some sort of connection with Daniel, you might not get nominated. Again, he made it very clear that he was not going to be the typical older guy that doesn't do a whole lot, but really that's kind of what he's been up to this point. Again, it's early, and I hate using that excuse for everyone, but it is early, so I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I don't have a bunch of confidence in his potential in this game. If he can make connections, sure, and I really, all I'd love to see him do is form a genuine connection with someone in this house. And up to this point, I haven't seen him do that. So if he can do that, then maybe we'll start taking steps forward. But until he can form at least some sort of genuine connection with someone where I know that someone else has his back in that house other than himself, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in his potential to win.
Look, Terrence got a 3 for me. He was my last pick. It's not looking good for Terrence. He might make it a couple more weeks potentially, but he'll get voted out. Sad but true.
Yeah, and finally, we have Turner here. I gave Turner a 4. I guess based on my expectations preseason, he's exceeded them for sure. He's doing all right, you know? He initially, where's Turner going to land? It didn't really seem like there was going to be a place for him. And he's kind of like, got his way in with some of the guys. Like, he was initially talking with Brittany, and I think they actually made a final two. I think Turner just completely like doesn't care about that, to be honest. So he started really hanging out with Pooch a lot. He was kind of like by his side. Everywhere Pooch would go, Turner would go. So it seems pretty clear that Pooch is Turner's number one ally at the moment. They've been with each other quite a lot. And so that's kind of the lane that Turner's taken. You know, he's definitely trying to make some other allies as well. Daniel being one of them. Nicole, he's trying to make efforts to make a relationship with her. And then some of the other guys, right? So, you know, Turner, he's made some plays here or there. he also at one point, which I guess it's not even important to mention this because it doesn't matter anymore because Paloma's gone. But at one point, he was talking to Paloma about a potential like alliance between with him, Pooch, Alyssa, and Paloma, like a four-person alliance, which now means nothing. But he's making efforts to do some of these things. So I think that's a pretty good sign for Turner overall. But similar to Pooch, he's also being talked about as a potential target next week. So that's not great for him. Brandon, what did you give Turner?
Turner got a 5, some mid-level gameplay here. I didn't expect a ton, so like you said, definitely exceeded expectations a little bit. But I'll wrap up with a 5 for Turner. I think he's done all right. Not too bad. We'll see what else he has in store.
And I'll say this, Brandon, I also gave him a 5. I think the dude has straight up gotten like 30 seconds of camera time. I don't even know how I'm supposed to have an opinion on him. Like, there's times where I'm like, wait, what's this guy's name? Like, I forget.
He
this
might
dude
not
is.
Even be playing.
I mean, I seriously think, like, in terms of the actual TV show, I think it's less than like 2 minutes he's gotten of like diary room session time on the show, because this dude, like, I forget is in the house half the time. He really hasn't done anything that I've seen on TV. So I can't have an opinion on the guy. I don't know anything about him. So, I mean, average player, average score of 5, just because he hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up our rankings in this episode recap. This is a long episode, so if you stayed in until now, I love each and every one of you dearly. They will get a little shorter, obviously, when less people are there. We got a little bit less to talk about each time. But yeah, anything else you guys want to say before I wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it as far as this. We'll see the HOH comp, the rest of it, I guess, on Sunday, where Kyle, Joseph, Michael, Monty, Jasmine, Amira, and Taylor are still remaining, those 7. So we'll find out who wins HOH on Sunday. And hopefully this coming week is much better than this first week. And, you know, we have the reset that we talked about.
100%. Well, with that being said, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. Of course, we'll be back with Small Baller Podcast on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sadly, Trevor will not be with us. We will miss you dearly, Trevor. The following Monday, we will record another episode of the AA Team, so stay tuned for that. And of course, next Thursday, we'll be back for the 5 Seconds of Fame podcast, which will be absolutely wonderful, recapping week 2 that is happening in Big Brother 24, season 24, which is just nuts to think about. But like I said, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.